quality is wholeness. And I have basically two definitions for it. And one is an unbroken completeness or totality. And the second definition is a state of robust good health. And I'm going to attempt to address both of them briefly, but by first saying that our spiritual wholeness is the source of all physical health. And I like to think of spiritual wholeness as a recognition of sufficiency or enoughness. Most of us spend a good deal of our lives trying to fix ourselves as if we were broken and somehow damaged goods. Anybody relate to that? Do you ever notice how many people talk about working on themselves? This is what I'm working on right now. People tell me that all the time. And deep down, I think a lot of us believe that we're flawed, that someday someone's going to find out that something's really wrong with us. You see, we've kept it secret long enough. But, you know, I remember thinking that for a long time. I no longer think that way. But just in case there's anyone here still holding that. You know, maybe it comes from hearing the word no so much when we're little. I once heard how many thousands of times a day we hear that word. Think about that. Everything that you go to do as a little type, somebody says, no, no, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't do that. After a while, you begin to say, well, you know, something's wrong here. You know, there must be something wrong. Everything I think I'm supposed to do, they're telling me not to do. And, you know, it's a confusing state just being born and raising up in, you know, childhood. And maybe it comes from the advertisements, because advertisements are always telling us we'll be okay when. You ever notice? You'll be okay when you use the right deodorant. Or I love the ones that are going on lately. It's like whatever pill they're pushing is what you need. And I'm really amazing because it always says, call your doctor and see if you can use this. And they don't even tell you what it is or what it's for. But the implication is constantly, the assumption is there is something wrong with your life and you need this. And once you get this, your life will be okay. You ever notice that? Oh, I can't help but wonder. We're bombarded with that constantly. Then there's the whole goal setting syndrome, you know? Strive for the more, or at least the better, constantly. And I do have to admit that I do believe in goal setting, but not because I think we need to get any better than we are, but because I believe that spirit, God itself, is continual self-expression. And so the more we self-express, the more we get to emulate God, which is who we are in the first place. So growth is about becoming more of who we already are and getting to understand. That's the whole principle behind looking at all these qualities of God. This is your inherent nature. This is who you are. Grow up into this. So we continually to be prodded to become all that we're capable of being. I don't know of anybody here that's yet at peak. I'm everything I'm ever capable of being. So there's more, constantly more. And it's not ever. We have to be careful that we don't grow because we think we need to, but simply because we can. Here's a perfect example of the more better syndrome. There was this rich industrialist from the north who was horrified one day when he saw this southern fisherman lying lazily by a boat smoking a pipe. Why aren't you out fishing? Said the industrialist. Because I've caught enough fish for the day, said the fisherman. Well, why don't you catch some more? What would I do with them? You could earn more money, was the industrialist's reply. With that, you could have a motor fixed to your boat and go into deeper waters and catch even more fish. Then you'd make enough to buy nylon nets. Then you'd bring you more fish, and that would bring you more money. Soon you'd have enough money to own two boats and maybe even a whole fleet of boats, and then you'd be a rich man like me. What would I do then? The fisherman asked. Then you could really enjoy life. What do you think I'm doing right now? So there's a delicate balance between continually opening ourselves up to be more and knowing that where we are already is perfect, whole, and complete. You know, wholeness in this sense means there is nothing missing. Now let's just talk about this perfection for a moment, because our society tells us that perfection is having everything the exact way we want it. No? To be perfect in this sense means meeting your every expectation. You know, the meal was perfect, the dinner was wonderful, the show was perfect. Whatever it is that we call perfect simply means it met our expectations. And I want to tell you folks that that thinking gets us in trouble very quickly. Because few things, if any, ever really meet our expectations. And expectation is always the cause of dissatisfaction with what is. So perfect, whole, and complete in a spiritual sense doesn't mean that. It's about life being a perfect manifestation of all of our thoughts and beliefs. You've heard that before. Within every seed, there's a perfect fruit. Dr. John Waterhouse is a friend of mine, and he wrote a book called The Five Steps to Freedom. And I love the way he put it. He said, "Ours is not to force the world into a submission of perfection, but rather to become ever more aware of the presence of spirit in everything that we see, hear, taste, smell, feel, and know. Perfection is something which we become aware of, not something to achieve." Very powerful. Because we are, in fact, already a holy people. I always like the word holiness, and basically holiness is a derivative of the word wholeness. And holiness in its deepest sense means dealing with the reality or dealing with what is so. You ever heard that definition of holiness? Try it on. Dealing with what is so. Because holiness then, or wholeness, becomes the state of being truly present wherever we are. And when we do that, we begin to see that perfection is the norm. Because anything you give your full attention to starts to become perfect. Trust me. Try this. Try it this week. Try it today. The next time you're doing something that you don't really enjoy doing, does anybody have days and moments that, you know, you have a couple of things that you may not enjoy doing in your life, and you wish you were elsewhere or doing something else? Anybody? You know, a couple of, not right now, hopefully. But at that moment, I suggest that we stop and fully focus on what you're doing and where you are. I had a friend who once said he used to practice this scrubbing the tiles in the bathroom. You know, whatever it is, the pots, whatever chore it is that you're doing that may be something you'd rather not be doing, focus your full attention on enjoying what you're doing, and you find that what happens is a stillness and a peace comes over you, and you start to actually enjoy what you're doing. Because it's the continual wishing that you were doing something else right now that disturbs you and makes you feel less than whole. It's not what you're doing that's the problem. It's where your mind is going, saying, "I wish I weren't doing this." And when you cut that out, you come back to the perfection. So when you practice being totally present, you begin to live in a constant state of gratitude. And I'm here to tell you folks, there's no better way to live. You know, when we practice being totally present, we let go distractions from the present moment. Because distractions from the present moment are a way of being ungrateful for what is. If you think about this, the opposite of gratitude is criticism. And whenever we fail to focus on what we're doing, we're in effect criticizing it because we want to be doing something else. Isn't that true? And when we're criticizing that, then we can't feel that gratitude. So most of our unhappiness and most of our life suffering comes from thinking that we don't have someone or we don't have something that we think we should have right now. That we should be in another place doing another thing. I think I'm catching attention. I feel the energy. So in other words, our expectations, once more. It's what we think we should be doing, what we think we should be having, that's causing all our suffering. All of it. You know, this applies to our physical bodies as well. And I know of what I speak. Because when we speak of wholeness, we think in terms of being vibrantly healthy, and that is our second definition. But we have to be careful of a trap here as well. You know, this is something that I learned from a yoga teacher years ago. We used to do these yoga postures where he had us stay in the posture for like 5 minutes at a time. Some of you have been there, you know what I mean? And the body starts to really respond. And I would call it deep pain happens. And what he said one day is, change the label of pain to sensation. You're having a physical sensation. What would happen if we decided that any pain that we experience, emotional, spiritual, physical pain, is simply a sensation? Because suffering in our life doesn't come from having pain. It comes, you're going to know what I'm going to say because I just said it, it comes from believing we shouldn't be having it. And it's an indication, you know, that's not, no one only is something wrong with our body, but again, we think then something needs to be fixed. See, we turn it around. We think, you know, this pain is saying something's wrong here. Something needs to be fixed. Something should be different. Isn't that what's causing the suffering? It's not the physical sensation. Have you ever really felt pain and like, focused on it, like really focused on it, what happens? It goes away, it disappears, it moves to another part. It does all kinds of interesting things. So it's not the pain that's causing the suffering. It's the focus that says, this shouldn't be, something's wrong with me, I need to be fixed, I'm not okay. There we go, spiraling once again. You know, illness or pain is never a sign that something needs to be fixed. All right? Our medical doctors, any medical doctors in the room can verify this for me. But it's a body's way of creating wholeness. If you think about that, your body is coming back to wholeness. So anytime, for example, when you have a fever, what is that? It's your body's trying to regulate its temperature, coming back to a fullness. Even something as gross as vomiting all the time, what is that about? It's getting rid of the toxins. It's the body saying, this doesn't belong in me. I need to get rid of this. So our body is whole. Our body knows how to heal. And true, we do use doctors, we use medicine when we need them. But the perfection of our physical state knows how to come to perfect homeostasis, balance. It really does. You know, real healing then comes when we begin to see the state of wholeness in ourselves or in anyone who we're currently defining as ill. So for all those prayers that you put out there, what are you seeing when you think of those people? Do you see the illness or are you seeing the innate perfection and wholeness? It's always seeing beyond the wounds to seeing perfection. I train the practitioners that if you go into a hospital room and you see sick people, get out of there, you don't belong there. When you go into the hospital, you see the wholeness. And until you can see the wholeness, you have no business being a practitioner at that moment. What we do is see, you know, only see the perfection. Illness of any kind in our body is a way of getting our attention about some aspect of our life. that's not in balance. So one thing you can do, and this may sound a little outlandish, is begin to speak to the parts of your body that aren't functioning well. If you need to, give them names and ask them, what's your message for me? What's going on? What is my body inviting me to know? Science and religion today are both teaching the same principles. And that is, number one, as Diane so beautifully did it in the meditation, we are born whole. And number two, we exist simultaneously as three levels, body, mind, and spirit, which are all interconnected and synergistic. It's not new news to us. This was new news in the 1800s when people began to realize that you could be healed through the power of your mind. True health is only experienced when all three levels are communicating and in harmony. So when we ask the question, what's the message in this illness or pain, usually what we get is an indication that some aspect of our spiritual or mental or physical life just wants more attention. Not wrong, not needs to be fixed, just wants more attention. So you think about the different aspects of your life as if they were a wheel and cut them into pies, you know, like the spokes of the wheel. Can you picture what I'm doing there? You know, so see your social life, your business life, your spiritual life, your sexual life, your creativity. If one of those were out of whack, out of balance, I did an exercise once with a group where we took the circle and we actually, on the spoke, measured how far along we felt we were in that area of our life. So for example, if creativity's high, you get to put your line at the edge of the spoke. If some other part of your life was very low, you get to put it down the middle of the spoke. Then imagine that wheel trying to turn as a wheel. What would happen? There'd be some bumps along the way. And so the bumps along the way are what show up in our physical state. And the bumps along the way are simply calling us to give attention to different aspects of our life. And you know, I think that all through our journey to adulthood, we make choices that gradually reduce that state of wholeness very often. And those are choices that very often conflict with the core values that we believe in. Anybody else ever made a choice that, you know, like, where did I go with that one? It's not what I believe in. It's not what I think. It's not the way I want to live. And you know, how did I get from here and now I'm here? And so we need to take a look. And those barriers to our wholeness reduce our vitality and our well-being, and they reduce even the inner guidance that we can know. You know, we move naturally back to wholeness when we start removing those barriers. And so effective care, effective treatment, has to focus not on the outward aspect only, not just the physical, but on the other two levels of our being. You know, we can't separate a healthy body from a whole life. You know, remember the principle, all of life is an inside job. So pain and illness come in our life because some aspect of our life needs more attention. So I'm going to invite you this week to focus on that. But be careful not to focus on what's wrong with me. Because whatever we focus on increases. This is a delicate line to walk. So in addition for looking for the message, how do you handle those physical challenges? Now, and I think the answer is primarily by learning, as we do continually, to look beyond appearances. There is an original blueprint of health that's embedded in all of our beings. And so, you've heard me talk about forgiveness this way, but in a spiritual sense, there is nothing to heal. It's our innate wholeness and perfection that simply needs to be revealed. It's a very different way of looking at life, folks. If you think of life as we've got to fix it, we've got to heal it, you're constantly broken, you know, what's happening is whatever you focus on increases. So you get more to fix and more to heal and more that seems to be broken. Have you ever noticed when something breaks around the house, everything else starts to break? You know, is it only me? But it's very interesting because you're focused on, oh my God, I gotta fix that and something's broken. And the minute you start focusing on that, broken happens more. So instead, what we're inviting ourselves to do is to focus on the innate perfection. So the deepest healing in our life comes when we really get this about ourselves or about anyone else for whom we have concerns. Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind text says, "What the healer does is to mentally uncover and reveal the truth of being, which is that God is in and through everyone, and that this indwelling presence is already perfect. We separate the belief from the believer and reveal that which needs no healing. Thought is sifted, and that which does not belong to the real self must be discarded. We really heal the thought. The spirit of man needs no healing, for the spirit of man is God." In the late 1800s, there was a young woman who was from a family that had a history of what was known then as consumption. We know it as tuberculosis. And she was desperately ill. And she tried everything medical to cure her consumption, but she was just constantly getting worse. And the doctors had actually written her off completely. There was nothing more she could do. And at the same time, there was a new movement that was happening in the United States, and it had some radical ideas about healing and ideas that people could be cured of illness and disease simply through prayer and mental work. And this movement was founded on the principle that we are spiritual beings and we each have a built-in capacity for wholeness. And so this young woman had heard about it, and one of her friends convinced her to go to a lecture to hear a little bit more. And she said at this point she figured she had nothing to lose. So she convinced her husband, and that took something, and she got him to go with her too, and they went to this lecture. And her husband didn't think very much of the lecture, but she heard one sentence that became an incredibly true revelation for her. It was, you know, the aha moment, you know, how you listen and something clicks. Like something I said today, hopefully. That the words she heard and deeply took to heart were, "You are a child of God, and you therefore do not inherit illness." Now remember, she came from a family who all had consumption. And the doctors told her it was, you know, heredity. This was in her genes. How many of you have stuff in your genes that you're fighting with because it came from your family, so you're stuck with it? They had bad eyesight, I have bad eyesight, they have whatever. You know, we decide. And she heard the words, "You are a child of God, and therefore you do not inherit sickness." She left this lecture repeating that statement over and over again, and her whole outlook towards her life began to change. And instead of focus on curing her illness, she began to focus on healing. That is, understanding her innate wholeness. And she started talking to her body and telling it a new story. And she stuck with it despite the appearances on the outside. And gradually, she actually began to see herself as whole, which is the real definition of healing, folks. The difference between curing and healing. Healing sees the perfection. Eventually, she was cured. The doctor said there was no more tuberculosis. Some of you may know this woman was Myrtle Fillmore, who, along with her husband Charles, who eventually came along, became the founder of the Unity Movement and Unity Schools of Christianity. And the whole basis of Unity has been the healing prayer and knowing our wholeness. There's also a doctor, Richard Cabot, who's a former dean of Harvard Medical School, and he supports this belief as well in the inherent perfection of our being. He says this, "The body simply has a super wisdom which is biased in favor of life rather than death, and which is 10 times as powerful as medicine's initiative." What is this powerful force? It's God. the power on which all of us depend in order to be here today. I earnestly recommend, this is a doctor, I earnestly recommend to the medical profession to let the patient know of this great force that's working within them, working on the patient's side, working on the doctor's side. It does the medical profession no good to avoid the word God. Why aren't we teaching people the truth? Scripture tells us, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So no medicine, no doctor, no focus on disease and how to cure it can make us well. Wholeness is the state of knowing the truth, that even our bodies are no less made in the image and likeness of God than our spirit or our soul. And when we understand this, our next step is to take responsibility for and asking for guidance in the cause of the illness. And be careful, this has nothing to do with blame.